Hello, everyone. I see that maybe people heard a little bit about the teaching I'm going to do, because there's a few more people here than are usually here. So I'm guessing that caught a bit of attention. But Joe specifically, I want to talk to you, Joe. You might be here for the Michael Langford Study Group. And I wanted to let you know the Michael Langford Study Group is actually on the first and third Wednesday of every month. And this happens to be a fifth Wednesday, so I'm just kind of filling in. But we'll have the Michael Langford Study Group next Wednesday. Obviously, Joe, you're welcome to hang out. But, yeah, it is the first and third, so it's not exactly every other week. what am I going to do? A friend sent me an email today. It's a wonderful... Sorry, I have Facebook open because that's where the email is. And, you know, Facebook now has pop-ups when your friends are commenting on your stuff, so it just pops right up in your face. And I have two friends kind of jokingly arguing over the name of a rock. So they're silly friends. All right, so let me see if I can close that, and hopefully the argument won't continue and it won't pop up. But anyway, a friend sent up. It wasn't really a question. It was, I think, more of a recommendation or a suggestion or a request to me today, which some of you may have seen because I posted the request and my response in Ask Regina. Let me just read this. I think that's the best way to get us started. I have willed for clarity on happiness for a while, and Alan Carr teachings on addiction has come to me. I have read and listened to most of his books and know his teachings will take me to the next step in this spiritual journey. His teachings remind me of Sri Sadhu Om and Nisargadatta Maharaj. Can you please read one of his books and show us how we can use it on our spiritual journey? He has one book on quitting smoking, and you said before that you used to smoke. It's called Alan Carr, Easy Way to Stop Smoking. And then there's also a video on YouTube you can watch with a link to the video. And I was really happy about that because if you know anything about Regina, she doesn't really have time to read a book. But I did. I looked at the video. It was an hour long. I thought, you know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to watch the video. So I did have time to watch the video this morning. So I did. And it's a very, very good video. I want to say that right off the bat for anybody who, if you still smoke and you want to quit smoking, this is an excellent video. Again, it's called Alan Carr, that's C-A-R-R, Easy Way to Stop Smoking. And you can just search for that in YouTube. After that, this request continues. In the Gentle Healing Group, you said that it is hard to stop an addiction. But Alan Carr says it's easy if you use the right method. It would be amazing to use his method for our spiritual journey. So, like I said, I watched the video, and I thought the video was very well done. What I perceived when I watched the video, however, is that Alan Carr's teachings and my teachings are actually the same. I didn't perceive it as anything different, except I felt like Alan Carr's teachings were all in one nice one-hour video, and my teachings are kind of, you know, spread out over hundreds of audios. So I thought it might be nice to come back and hit the same points that Alan Carr hits and hit them right here in one audio. So that's what I'm going to do, based on my perception, of course, of what I heard in the Alan Carr video. One of the first things that happened in this video, which I thought was very interesting, because I think those of us who are in the Gentle Healing Group just did something very similar. What he first does is he kind of explains what addiction is in a very nice way. It kind of reminded me of what we learned when we were watching What the Bleep. One thing that I think is really important about what Alan was explaining about the smoking addiction, which, by the way, is 100% true of the ego addiction as well. There is no difference. is that we satisfy the addiction because we think we're going to feel better. You know, so if you're a smoker, you know, maybe you're feeling stressed and so you know, next possible opportunity, you go outside and you have a cigarette, and that cigarette does appear to make you feel better. And so you think you like smoking because it helps you to relax, right? But what he pointed out is what was really helping you to feel agitated and stressed, more stressed than your non-smoking coworkers at the time, was the fact that in addition to the stress of work or whatever you're feeling stressed about, in addition to that stress, you were also having a mild withdrawal from nicotine. And so since a part of your stress was the mild withdrawal from nicotine, when you went and you smoked that cigarette and you satisfied that withdrawal urge, of course you felt better. But actually, it was just the withdrawal that was feeling better. And soon, you know, of course, that withdrawal symptom is going to come back and you're going to have another cigarette. Well, let me just change that to anger. We'll use anger as an example, or it could be worry or jealousy or anything else. We talked about last night in the Gentle Healing group about how, you know, when you cast your attention on certain types of thoughts, and we'll go with anger, you know, like thoughts, anger thoughts, and you know, they're so stupid, they shouldn't have done that, or, you know, whatever the thoughts are, and you start feeling the emotion of anger, that what happens is the brain actually creates a chemical. I think it's called a peptide. And that when that peptide locks in with a cell, or docks, I think they called it, docks with a cell, the cell gets to kind of drink that chemical cocktail. And this actually changes the cell, is what they explained. That, you know, once the cell begins drinking some of these emotional chemical cocktails, that the cell actually creates even more receptors for that same chemical cocktail. And then it has a way of calling out, it has a way of sending signals to the brain saying, okay, I want more of that anger juice, please. More of that anger juice, please. And then what happens unconsciously, of course, is we start looking for another reason to get angry. We don't know it, but we're literally looking for another reason to get angry, just like a person who smokes is looking for the next opportunity to smoke a cigarette. It's the same thing. And if you pay attention to the mind, I don't know if anger is your thing or worry is your thing or what your thing is, but if you pay attention to the mind very carefully, you will notice that the mind in some way is sending you a signal saying, if you get angry about this, somehow you're going to be able to control this situation, you're going to make it better, and then you're going to feel better. Or if you just worry about this, somehow you're going to find a way to resolve it, and it's going to be better. Right? Or if you fear this, that's going to lead you to find a solution, and you're going to feel better. So it's just like, it's just the same as the nicotine, right? You smoke the cigarette and you feel better. Well, this is exactly what the mind is promising you. Get angry, you'll feel better. Worry, you'll feel better. Be afraid, you'll feel better. And if you don't notice this, I'll tell you when you will notice it, is when you choose not to feed that addiction. So again, if anger is the addiction and there's something happening in your environment and it's a type of thing that usually would set you off into anger, and you choose to withhold that, you choose to, instead of focusing on the anger thoughts that are coming into the mind, to shift over and focus on your workbook lesson, practice rest, accept and trust, etc., etc., you may get some thoughts that are going to tell you, you need to step in and take control. Anger is your way of taking control, or else. You know, you'll get thoughts that are telling you the way that you're going to get back to happiness is coming in here, taking control like you always do. I used to have two people who stayed with me who literally believed whoever yelled the loudest got their way. And so these two ladies would yell quite a bit. But, you know, that thought's in there. Whoever yells the loudest is going to get their way. And if you don't yell your loudest, it's not going to go your way and you're going to be unhappy. So it's that same kind of an addiction process. And so again, we just went through what the bleep, and through what the bleep, we learned about our addictive process. And the way this video starts is by teaching that addictive process to smokers. But one thing that's really important about this video is, let's see, what was his name? I already forgot his name. Was it Alan? Yeah, Alan. Alan makes the point that your ideas that you want to smoke are an illusion. And he spends quite a bit of time in the video looking at different people's ideas about why they want to smoke and really demonstrating that's not true, that's not true, that's not true. And in effect, on the spiritual path, this is what we do with inquiry. We question our thinking with reason so that we can see that our thinking isn't true. So let's go back to the example of the anger habit or the anger addiction. So let's say I'm someone who always gets mad, and what I don't realize is that's unconsciously how I'm trying to control my environment. I'm trying to make everything my way so that I can feel happy or safe or whatever, right? So that anger is telling me a lot of things. You know, that anger is telling me that I can get people to behave the way I want them to if I just get angry. In some crazy way, I mean, I've been crazy before. I'm not now, praise the Lord, but I've been crazy before. And when I was crazy, I used to scream and get mad at Ron and Jasmine. And believe it or not, there was a thought in the mind, this is so insane, there was a thought in the mind that this is how I would get their love. You know, like I could scream at Ron. I've never really been a girl who cared that much about flowers, but let's say that I was. I could scream at Ron about not getting me flowers until he got me flowers, and then I would feel loved. I could scream at my daughter about not respecting me until I got her respect, and then I would feel loved. Think about how insane that idea is, that if you scream at someone enough, they'll love you. You know, so there's all kinds of crazy little thoughts in our minds that are supporting our insane habits. And what we don't realize is that we believe these crazy little thoughts. Another thought that everybody has until they don't anymore is that fear keeps you safe. Fear keeps you safe. And in fact, when it comes time to let go of fear, that's what makes letting go of fear so challenging, is because we actually have a very deep belief. It's not even a surface belief. It's a very deep belief that fear keeps me safe. And if I don't fear, I won't be safe. I'll walk into some kind of an unsafe situation and be too stupid to be afraid, and I'm going to get hurt. When actually, I'll just let you know, it isn't fear that keeps you safe. It's wisdom or intuition. The intuition is there even when you give up the fear, right? So we have lots of these crazy little beliefs, just like smokers have lots of ideas, you know, like smoking relaxes me, I can focus better when I smoke, smoking makes me more attractive. These are some of the ideas that the people in the video shared. You know, we have crazy ideas too that actually kind of underneath consciousness in the unconscious level are making us think at a level that, again, we're not totally conscious of, making us think, I need anger, or I want anger. Anger is helping me out in this lifetime. Or I need worry. Worry is helping me out. Or I need fear. Fear is keeping me safe. And so inquiry is the process that we use to go through and uncover and question all of these ideas and see that they're not true. We see for ourselves that our ideas that we want to be angry, worried, whatever, are illusions. They're not true. This is what inquiry is all about. And of course, as he was making this point, that your ideas that you want to smoke are an illusion, he also made the point that you think smoking serves you, but actually it doesn't. And, you know, that's just another aspect of inquiry, noticing that we think it serves us, but it doesn't. So, for example, you know, if Ron were here right now, I'm sure I could bring him in. I could ask him. I could say, Ron, tell you what, do you remember back when we lived on Cobman Hill and I used to yell at you all the time? He'd say, yeah. I'd say, did that make you want to love me more? What do you think he'd say? No? I thought about leaving you a lot back then is probably what he'd say, right? So I had this crazy, twisted idea that if I yelled, I could get him to love me. I could get him to, like I said, buying flowers wasn't big to me, but spend more time with me. I could get him to spend more time with me, right? Get him to be interested in things I'm interested in, right? I could get more love from him if I yelled at him enough. But that wasn't at all the effect it was having on him. You know, he was beginning to question, why was he with me? Did he want to stay at all? So through inquiry, I began to see that even though I have these ideas that my, well, it's my insanity, although we don't call it that at the time, my attempts at control, my attempts at getting my way, right? Although I have these ideas that my attempts of getting my way serve me, if we really look deeply, we find out that actually they don't. It's a disservice. It's the exact opposite of service. So what's happening is the ego is lying to me. And this is really important to see. We have to see through those ideas that we have that literally lead us to cling to worry, fear, anger, manipulation, deceit, jealousy. I mean, you know, most people do get jealous because somehow they think that's going to get them love. That's the primary reason for being jealous. I want your love. But anybody who's ever had a jealous husband or a jealous wife can tell you it has exactly the opposite effect. I feel controlled. You know, I'm not sure I want to be here. Right? So it's important to see that the ego is lying to us. It's telling us we're going to get our way when actually the opposite is really, you know, at least being considered by the people in our families. You know, it just isn't serving us in the way it says that it is. Again, the next thing in the video, and we either know this or we are in the process of learning this. The next thing that was in the video is you want happiness. That's really what you want. That's what you're after, whether you know it or not. You want happiness. That's your goal. And what's happening is that you have come to believe that smoking makes you happy. It makes you feel better. But that's a lie. And again, this is just kind of more of that same initial inquiry we've been talking about. But if we watch our mind tells us that it can make us safe. It can make us happy. It can get us to be loved, etc. It's really telling us that with all of these different techniques, if we do what it asks us to do, that we'll be happy. But if we pay close attention, we'll notice it's never more than temporarily true. It's not that happiness never comes about, but it's never more than temporarily true. You know, so if the mind is telling me, for example, that I need to get a raise. I need to get a raise. And I do whatever I do to you know, convince my boss that I need a raise. When I get the raise, sure, I'm happy for a little bit. But pretty soon, it doesn't take long at all. The mind, now you need a new car. You know, your car's old. You need a new car. So I go out, I get a car. I now have this, I got attracted to this really nice car, but now I have this car loan. And guess what? I need more money again. You know, it never actually takes us to permanent happiness, and it won't ever take us to permanent happiness. So again, probably the first 45 or 50 minutes of this video was focused on pointing out over and over again that your ideas that you want to smoke are an illusion. You think that smoking serves you, but it's a disservice. You want happiness, and smoking is telling you it's going to make you feel better, but that's a lie. And it just kept proving this over and over and over again. And so what's happening in this video, because any smoker, even though they may know they want to quit, they also have the thought, I want to smoke. They wouldn't smoke if that thought wasn't there. So a lot of this video is really showing them that part of the thinking is completely an error, and you can let go of it now. It's not true. It's not true. It's not true. And so again, that's what we do with inquiry. We see that our thinking, that our believing our thinking is completely an error, because our thinking is not true. It's not true. It's not true. It's that same process. And in fact, there's a line somewhere in NTI that says something about the thinking mind is pure confusion. And it's a great day when you see that. Because when you finally see that the thinking mind is pure confusion, you realize you don't have to listen to it. You're free. So just like 45 minutes of this 60-minute video was spent showing that you don't really want to smoke, it's not serving you, all of the things that you think are serving you are just lies, we spend a lot of time on the spiritual path seeing the exact same thing about believing our thoughts. And we get to the point where we realize, I don't want to believe my thoughts anymore. These thoughts that are telling me they'll make me happy, they'll make me safe, you know, they're lies. It's a trap. And the more convinced we are that we do not want to believe our thoughts, the more ready we are for the practices of awakening. Just like the more you realize that your ideas about smoking are an illusion, the more ready you're going to be to let go of smoking. It's increasing that intense desire for liberation, or increasing that intense desire to quit smoking. And the greater your desire is, the higher the likelihood of success. If you just kind of want to quit smoking, you know, you're probably not going to be successful. But if you've really seen through all the lies of smoking, you understand this doesn't serve you at all, and you're a slave to something you no longer want to be a slave to, you're really, really motivated, it's much more likely that you're going to be successful. And it's the exact same thing with the spiritual path. This is why Michael Langford recommends that if your intense desire for liberation, you know, hasn't kicked in yet, he recommends that you focus on, you know, the evils of the world and realize that the ego is the cause of all evil, and the ego is the cause of all suffering. He recommends that you look at it, pay attention to it, you know, until you're like, oh my God, this ego has to end. Because when you get to the point, oh my God, this ego has to end, you're now ready for success. But if you only kind of want to let go of the ego, you know, you're probably not going to be successful. It's really the exact same thing as smoking. And as this video. So again, that was a significant portion of the video, being, you know, increasing that desire to quit smoking by noticing how much smoking doesn't serve you, how many of your thoughts about smoking were just lies. Once that 45 minutes of the video is done, then the last 15 minutes of the video is spent with some very specific steps. So 45 minutes out of an hour, just increasing your desire to quit, and then 15 minutes on here's how. Right? And in fact, again, Michael Langford tells us that that's a very important first step, a key first step, a critical first step to increase our desire for liberation. And that once we increase that desire for liberation, everything else that we need will come to us. You know, then it's going to happen then. But without the desire, we have nothing. Good night, Tony. All right, so let's assume now that we have done our inquiry. We've recognized the lies of the ego in our own mind. We know that the ego does not serve us. And we want to know, what do I do? Okay, I'm ready. What do I do? Well, that's where the last 15 minutes of the video came from. The first point that was made was, and again, he was talking about smoking. So he said, you need to make the decision to quit and never doubt your decision. And interestingly, I talked about that last night. I was talking about what the bleep, and in what the bleep, at the very beginning of the movie, they told you that you needed to go into the rabbit hole and find your craziness, right? And then they said, and then you have to question that craziness with a, let's see, what did they call it? A straitjacket approach. And I said that the way I interpreted that, the straitjacket approach, was it was as if my crazy thoughts had me in a straitjacket. I have no sense of freedom whatsoever. And I need to question those thoughts, see through those thoughts, practice awareness, watching awareness, right? Whatever else that I'm guided to do, I need to be very, very focused on it so I can get out of this straitjacket. I will not get out of this straitjacket and be free if I'm not 100% committed to the inquiry and the meditation and the other practices that come to me to free me. And that's really what he's saying. You want to make this decision, never doubt it, never turn back. This isn't a maybe I'm going to do it, you know, unless it gets a little hard, then I'm going to go running back. You know, it's I'm doing this. I have seen through the ego's illusions. I know the ego needs to end. I know I'll never be happy with it. I know the evil and harm it causes in the world. I'm doing this, period, end of discussion. Right? That's step number one. It's like A Course in Miracles. The power of decision is mine. And I think I must have, even though I don't remember word for word what I said last night, I must have said something like that last night too, because I got a text from one friend that told me that her favorite part of my teaching last night was when I said, you can decide you don't want guilt anymore. Or you can decide you don't want hatred anymore. And in fact, that's what I did with the code, wasn't it? If you listen to my teaching of the code, didn't I decide after that butter meltdown? Didn't I decide I don't want this anymore? And then I went about following the teachings of the code until I let go completely of the belief in hate. And all experience of hate left me forever. There wasn't this, I kind of maybe want to let go of hate. There was, I'm done. It was a firm decision. And then I did what I had to do, which was quit believing those hate thoughts. And in fact, it was only that intense decision that enabled me to quit believing those hate thoughts. Because if I hadn't made an intense decision that I was done with hate, that I didn't want hate in my experience anymore, well, then the next time, you know, Laurent did whatever Laurent did, I would have gone right back to believing the hate thoughts. I had to know I was done with it. That was the motivation. So again, step number one, make the decision and never doubt your decision. Step number two, again, this was a smoking video, so it said don't avoid situations that make you want to smoke, you know, like going to bars, for example. You know, maybe you think, well, I can't go to bars anymore because every time I have a drink, I want to smoke, so I'll have to quit going to bars. This says don't avoid situations that make you want to smoke. My feeling has always been that you don't need to go snooping around looking for trouble to bring up your fear. You know, you don't need to do that. Life, when it's time, is going to bring something to you that will bring up your fear or bring up your guilt or bring up your unworthiness or bring up your anger or whatever else in you needs to heal. Bring up your jealousy. Bring up your sense that you're being rejected. Life itself will bring something to you. You don't have to go looking for it. But when life does bring it to you, recognize this is your opportunity, this is your gift, and don't try to avoid it. Look it straight in the eye. Let it come. Let it come. Let the situation come. Don't try to control it. Don't try to change it. Let it come. And practice rest, accept, and trust the whole time. And this is how you heal. In fact, you won't heal if you continue to try to control the world so that it behaves according to your preference. That's how you feed your ego addiction. The only way you're going to heal this ego addiction is to stop controlling, or at least stop your attempts to control. Let things happen the way they happen, and then don't give in to your conditioning. You know, don't go back to your anger. Don't go back to your worry. Don't go back to your guilt. Practice rest, accept, and trust instead. Breathe. Be patient. Remember you want to heal. And in fact, the teaching is to remember what you really want. Right? Remember what you really want, which is awakening, truth realization, self-realization, be only love, perfect peace, unending joy. Remember what you really want and then be grateful that this situation has come to help you heal and move you in the direction of what you really want. Being grateful for it, as you can see, is the exact opposite of trying to avoid it or trying to control it. Embrace it as the healing gift that it is. Because what you really, really want is to heal. And this has come to help you heal. So don't avoid situations or don't try to control situations that would bring up your fear or bring up your anger or bring up your jealousy. Let them be used to heal you. Now the next point, it was starve the addiction. In this particular video, they use a cartoon character, a monster, in the belly, which kind of represented the nicotine habit. They said, starve the monster. But starve the addiction. And, of course, one thing that I've shown you all is that your attention is an activating force. In fact, your attention is spirit. Not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would be only the right mind. But spirit, an activating agent. And so when thoughts come into your mind, if they're worry thoughts or guilt thoughts or anger thoughts, and you give them your attention, you activate them. It's like they're seeds, and you water the seeds with your attention so that they can sprout and blossom. What we need to do if we want to become free of the ego is we need to starve the ego by not giving it our attention. And in fact, this is one reason that awareness watching awareness meditation is recommended. And this is one of the reasons that Michael Langford recommends, you know, as much as you can every day, as many hours as you can every day, set in awareness, watching awareness meditation. Because when you're setting in awareness, watching awareness meditation, you are focusing yourself on awareness and not thoughts. Which means the entire time you're setting in awareness, watching awareness meditation, you're starving the ego. You're not giving it attention. But also, even though we want to spend as much time as we can in focused awareness, watching awareness meditation, when we're not in meditation, and we can't be in meditation all the time, we all have lives, we still want to be doing our best to not give our attention to thoughts. We still want to do our best to starve the ego. So right now, if we're in the gentle healing group, what we are doing is we're doing that by putting our attention on our workbook lesson, for example. If you know the teachings of Inner Ramana, the teachings of Inner Ramana offers three tools to help you starve the ego. One is surrender. And the way surrender works is, you know, without surrender, what I'm doing is thinking. You know, like I'm thinking, okay, so what am I going to say tonight when I go and teach that thing on, I'll call it the easy way to let go of ego. What am I going to say tonight? Let's see, I can say this, and I can say this, and maybe I'll say this. Oh, but what will they think if I say that? Will they misunderstand that? Maybe I should say this instead. And, you know, yada, yada, yada. See, you're feeding the ego the whole time you're thinking, right? So what the teachings of Inner Ramana does is it recommends that instead of thinking, we deal with life by asking. Asking, what am I to do now? And the teachings of Inner Ramana says that question is all-encompassing. So what am I to do now can mean how am I to say, how am I to see this? What am I to say? How am I to respond? You know, it can mean anything. But you just keep asking, what am I to do now? And you feel intuitively what to do, and you do that. And by surrendering in this way, you are not using all that time thinking about what you're going to do or thinking about what you're going to say when you get there, right? And so you're starving the ego, paying attention to intuition instead of the mind. Another tool that Inner Ramana gives us to help us starve the ego is the I am that mantra. It says that whenever the prompt comes into the mind during the day, just to kind of get still, say to yourself, I am that I am, and then rest in the stillness afterwards. And what I found in my experience with the I am that mantra is that it typically came to me to do it during times when I would have been mind wandering, you know, like doing dishes, showering, brushing my teeth. I was reminded to focus on the I am that I am mantra then. And again, that's starving the ego because I'm focusing on the mantra and the silence before and after the mantra instead of all that chatter in the mind. And then the third tool that it teaches, of course, is self-inquiry. And the way it teaches self-inquiry is to help you shift your attention from the mind to awareness. So that you're paying attention to awareness instead of the mind. Again, a third way to starve the ego. And in fact, you guys have probably heard me say that my definition of forgiveness is to remove attention from the false and place attention with the true. That's what forgiveness is. And when we remove attention from the false, we are starving the ego. The ego cannot survive without your attention. That's what it lives on. In fact, the ego has no life at all. This is what people mean when they say it doesn't exist. It has no life. It appears to have life because you give it your spirit, your attention, your activating agent. You know, if you imagine the ego like a thin piece of cloth, and it just lays there and it's nothing, but then you get underneath it and you blow it, you blow up on it, and it starts to rise up and it appears to dance around and it seems like it has a life, but that's because you are blowing on it. If you quit blowing on it, it has no life. Nisargadatta said, the real is the father of the unreal. This is what he meant. We are the real. Our awareness, our attention is reality. And when we give our awareness, our attention to thoughts and perceptions and experiences, they appear real. They appear to have life. But that's only because of what we're given it. If we stop giving it, it can't appear to have life. So again, we need to starve the ego. The next point, number 7, enjoy the process. And this might be the primary reason why the friend sent it to me. I don't know that for a fact. But remember the friend said up in the original email, I have willed for clarity on happiness for a while, and Alan Carr teachings on addiction has come to me. So I think that idea of being happy is really important. And so Alan Carr has this idea, enjoy the process. Enjoy the process of letting go of smoking instead of dreading it, right? Instead of thinking, oh my God, this is so hard. Oh my God, I'm so miserable. Oh my God, I'm suffering from all of these cravings. Instead of all of that negative heaviness, instead of adding all of that to your quitting process, enjoy the process. And I think it's possible that I don't always emphasize that. But often I do. And in fact, this week when you're reading Thessalonians, I think you will find that idea in Thessalonians this week, that idea of whenever there's an interruption to your peace, instead of denying it, look at it. But I think it says something about looking at it with joy, being grateful, being joyous. Oh, yay. Oh, yay. I just saw this almost getting angry happening in me. Or, yay, I saw myself get angry, but I saw it quick. You know, yay, 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 here comes some guilt so I can practice rest, accept, and trust and heal. And in fact, this is my attitude. And if you watch when I talk about any resistance that comes up in me or anything that's coming up in me as we go through this, when I'm writing those little tips, you will notice that I always talk about how happy I am. This means healing's happening. Something's happening. I've noticed lately, that I'm feeling more resistance, or my mind seems to be chattering more and I seem to be sucked into it more, and I'm feeling a little agitated by the mind. And then I say, yay, this means healing's happening. If I'm feeling more agitated, something's going on, and I'm grateful for that. When you want healing more than anything else, maybe enjoy the process is sometimes an exaggeration. You know, the word enjoy has a particular meaning to me. But you can be happy about it. You can be grateful for it. You can be wide open, willing. You can trust the process. Yes, trust the process. The more positive you are about the process, the more likely you are to succeed. You know, you can see that if you're saying to yourself, oh my God, this is so hard, I just don't know if I can do this. Jesus, you know, I don't think I want to meditate today. Why does she make us meditate? Oh my God, I have to say this workbook lesson every half. I don't want to say this. You know, the more you use that kind of self-talk with you, the less likely you're going to be successful. I mean, you can see that. That's easy to see. I'll tell you what I do in my house. I get up every morning, typically at 5 a.m., occasionally 4, occasionally 6, but typically at 5. I go straight in and make coffee. And while the coffee is making, I go ahead and I sit down and I open the Course in Miracles workbook, and I usually read through the first paragraph even while the coffee is making. It's the first thing I go to. And then I go and I get my coffee and I come back, and I typically read the first paragraph again and then continue with the love. It's the first thing I do. And I get up feeling excited for another workbook lesson. I call that divine greediness. Today's the only day I have with this workbook lesson. I just want to eat it up. You know, I'm excited to remember something every half hour if that's the assignment. I'm excited to do 2 meditations today if that's the assignment. And the more that you can enjoy the process, much, much higher are your chances of success. So So again, the next step is enjoy the process. Realize this is your true desire. Be grateful for those opportunities to heal. Be grateful for opportunities for spiritual practice. Realize this is what you really, really want, and be so happy that you're here. Now, number 8, he talked about withdrawal. He said you will have withdrawal, and in fact, he was very clear that withdrawal with cigarettes is very subtle. It's not the same as like if you're withdrawing from, say, heroin, which can be very painful to the body. When you're withdrawing from cigarettes, there's no pain. There's just this feeling, oh, I want a cigarette, right? He says when the withdrawal starts, what you need to do is you really need to watch your self-talk. For example, you don't want to allow that thought, I want a cigarette. You know, you want to be careful about what you say to yourself. Maybe instead you want to say to yourself, oh, yay, here comes another opportunity to feel that desire for a cigarette and not give in. I have quit. I have quit. And every time this opportunity comes up, I'm even more convinced that I have quit. Right? Now, when you're going through the process of letting go of the ego, I can't say that it's always going to be real subtle like the withdrawal is from a cigarette. There are times it might even feel more like the withdrawal from heroin. Not that you'll have physical pain, but the ego can be really, really loud telling you if you don't make that phone call, your life's over. Pick up the phone and call him. You know, if you don't make that, and yet you know that's just giving in to the ego again. You got to let this happen. You got to let this unfold. You can't take control. Have you guys ever seen the movie Revolver? I love the movie Revolver because Jake Green goes through those strong ego withdrawals, and the ego is just screaming and screaming and screaming. And yet he sticks to his purpose. He sticks to his remembrance that he wants to be free of the ego, and he does not give in to the screaming. He doesn't interfere with the screaming. He doesn't try to stop the screaming. But he doesn't give in to it. He stays in his heart, stays in his purpose, he stays focused. And that's a part of what we have to do at some point. If we aren't able to move through the withdrawals without giving in to the ego, we're just going to feed the ego and we're going to stay in the exact same conditioning and the exact same process that we've always been in. There are some ego withdrawals that are milder, but there are some that seem quite intense, and I don't want to lie to you about that. But whether they're mild or whether they're intense, the what you do to move through them is exactly the same. And the first part of that is this helpful self-talk that he's talking about. I've talked about that when I talk about rest, accept, and trust. And I say number one is rest the mind. But when you rest the mind, sometimes you can't just be silent, you know, because if the ego has such a strong gravity, if you try to just be still, you'll get pulled into listening to it. So I recommend positive, helpful self-coaching. You know, for example, okay, I can feel this. This is just the ego here. I feel the ego wants me to make this phone call, but I really want to heal. I do not want to give in to the ego anymore. I'm just going to breathe. I'm just going to breathe. I know that this will pass. I know what I really want. I want awakening. I can't give in to fear. Every time fear comes up in the mind, if I want awakening, if I don't pay attention to this fear, I will starve it. It will die. It cannot last forever. Whatever feels genuine and helpful to you. But it will assist you in moving through those, we'll call them withdrawal periods, when the ego's trying to get you to go back to your old conditioning. So when withdrawal starts, use helpful self-talk to move through it without giving in. And then number 9 was don't fall for just this one time. Okay, I'll have just this cigarette. You know, we have that exact same experience when we're letting go of the ego, because maybe you're letting go of, you know, trying to control things. But then something's going to come up, and the ego's going to say, oh my God, this is so serious. I know you're trying not to control things, but you've got to do this. You've got to control this one, just this one time. I mean, that's going to happen. And you got to know you can't listen to that just this one time. You know, you go right back into your conditioning, you feed the ego, and you're just as hooked as you ever were. So that also applies. Don't fall for just this one time. He also said, go ahead and see yourself as a non-smoker. Start thinking of yourself as a non-smoker. Well, that's just like us saying, notice that you are life and you are awareness now. Pay attention. Notice that you're awareness. Notice that everything's in your awareness. Notice that your awareness is constant, that it's what's always here. You see yourself as awareness now, first of all, because you are. Right? It's even more true than see yourself as non-smoker now. You are. That's what you've always been. But pay attention to your truth. Right? Start giving your attention to your truth now. He said, see the withdrawal as confirmation that this part of your life is over. Right? You wouldn't be experiencing the withdrawal if you hadn't quit. That's just like me saying what I said a moment ago, that when my resistance kicks in or I'm getting more agitated at the mind, you know, I see this as positive. This means healing's happening. I wouldn't be feeling more agitated. There wouldn't be resistance unless healing was happening. You know, and Peace Pilgrim talked about the hills and valleys of the spiritual path, and the valleys are those times when the resistance is bigger, the ego seems to be coming back, right? We've had a hilltop, which was a very peaceful time, but now we're in a valley, and it's getting harder again. She says that's a very important part of the process. That's when we learn our lessons. That's how we make it to the next hilltop, which is going to be even higher. You know, it isn't a failure. This is the process. This is, you know, this, the ego is showing up so that you can starve it some more. Yay. Yay, yay. I get to let go of a little bit more of ego. So see the withdrawals or the valleys as confirmation that you are healing. Another rule was no substitutions. And of course, when you're smoking, you know, people may eat more, or they may try the patch or different things. And he says absolutely no substitutions. Well, that's why what we teach is, you know, we're not trying to replace negative thoughts with positive thoughts. Like, we're not trying to replace I'm ugly with I'm beautiful, because the I is still there. You haven't kicked the I habit, right? I'm not dumb, I'm smart, but the I is still there. So we're not really substituting negative thoughts with positive thoughts. We're learning to take our attention off of thought and place it with awareness. But there is a period of time when we place it with thoughts that point towards truth, because you know, there's a period of time for the person that's healing from the addiction to the ego when they don't yet even know what awareness is. They don't really know, have any sense yet of that truth. And so to tell them to place your attention with the truth, place your attention with the awareness, kind of leaves them hanging, because they don't know what you're talking about. And so until they start having their own realizations of truth, we give them what are called bridge thoughts, which are like these workbook lessons, and we ask them to pace their attention with the workbook lessons. But those aren't really meant as substitutes. Those are meant as bridges until they begin to have their own realizations and they begin to know who they are. Then they can start placing their attention with their truth. And it's still a part of starving the ego. He says, don't try to block the smoking thoughts out of your mind. That's just like us saying, you know, don't try to, you can't block the thoughts and not let them in. You know, you don't try and do that. That will lead to repression. The thoughts will come into the mind, but just realize you don't want them. Right? You don't try and block them. You just realize you don't want them. In fact, the way I learned that when I was, you know, a student of Holy Spirit was the Holy Spirit gave me a vision where I was shopping at TJ Maxx, and there's all these blouses at TJ Maxx, and I'm just, any blouse I don't want, I just slide along the rack. I don't want it. I wasn't struggling. I wasn't like, oh my God, what's that blouse doing on the rack? I wasn't trying to not look at it. Just, nope, I don't want that one. Nope, I don't want that one. And I just easily slide the blouses by me that I don't want until I got to one I did want. So, you know, don't try and block the thoughts. Don't be afraid of the thoughts. Don't judge yourself because the thoughts are showing up. Just notice, nope, I don't want that one. You know, like you're shopping. Nope, don't want that one. Right? Easy peasy. So again, don't fear failure just because you still have cravings. And as I mentioned this last night, that we start letting go, but it's as if we've thrown many, many pebbles into the pool, and we've created many, many rings, and all of those rings are experience based on those pebbles. So even after we quit throwing pebbles into the pool, because of the pebbles that we've already thrown, there's still some rings, and we're going to be experiencing them. So the experience is coming from the pebbles we threw in the past. The experience is coming from the thoughts we believed in the past. It doesn't mean that you're failing just because guilt comes up again or fear comes up again. You know, we all know we've believed these things in the past, and so there's still some echoes out there that we're going to experience. And the echoes just give you another opportunity to practice rest, accept, and trust. Just give you another opportunity to become more of a master at not believing it, right? But it doesn't mean you're failing. It doesn't mean you're going backwards. And then the very last thing is get on with your life as a non-smoker. And that's notice that you are life awareness and be that. Be the observer. Be the peace. Be the openness. Be the allowance. Notice what you are. The truth of what you are, and be that now, right? And that's really it. That's the end of the video. So what I wanted to do is try and put all of those parallels into a 1 hour audio so we have all of that information kind of together, really close together, so we can listen to it and get all of those tips. Joe says he's glad he accidentally showed up tonight because he recently celebrated 30 years free of alcohol and cocaine addiction. Good, Joe. I'm glad you were here, too. I always like to see you. Joe's an old friend. And for a period of time, a couple of years, Joe, I haven't really seen you, so having you back recently is a lot of fun. All right, that's it. That's the end. I'm going to post this video. It was smoking. That's funny, Kathy. I'm going to post this audio. This is an audio. I'll go ahead and post it with the Gentle Healing Group, and I'm going to call it, what was the name of the video? The video, I think, was, I think it was like how to, the easy way to quit smoking, so I'll call this the easy way to let go of the ego. All right? Okay, bye, everyone.